Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting God, our Father, we come at this time just to say thank you once again, Heavenly Father, for all of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We come this morning, Heavenly Father, just acknowledging that you alone are God, that you're sovereign in the heavens and in the universe, and you're a great God. You're a merciful God, and you're a loving God. We come now, Father, asking that you would speak to us, that you would use us for your glory. We pray that you would open up the hearts and minds of all those who are under the sound of my voice, that we might be blessed today, that we might receive your blessing and be conformed to the image of your Son. Bless us now, Heavenly Father, is our prayer. It is in Jesus' name that we do pray, and for his sake, let every heart say amen. To Pastor Minor, we give thanks for this opportunity. We're grateful to God this morning for yet another opportunity that he has given us that we might be used by him. And we pray that all things might abound this day to his glory, to his honor, and to his praise. I realize that this is Super Bowl Sunday, and I have until about 4 o'clock, I understand, and to preach this message. So if you have to leave, just put your finger up. But we're going to allow the Lord to have his way this morning. We pray that you would just continue to pray with us and for us as we seek to deliver what the Lord has placed on our hearts. I want to call your attention to the book of Hebrews this morning. I acknowledge also all of the ministers present, Reverend Bannister, Reverend Bell, of course, Pastor Minor, and to those, Reverend Register, Reverend O'Rear. I want to acknowledge them. We're going to call your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Our focal verse will be verse 19. I'm going to read to you from the New American Standard Version. Reading from that version of the Bible, you'll find these words. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I want to just read verse 18 also as part of our context for our message today. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. I want to use for a thought this morning this hope we have is an anchor. This hope we have is an anchor. In the uncertainty of our times, who can really say when a storm may show up in our lives? And there are storms of many kinds. We face all kinds of storms, all kinds of issues in our lives. We spoke earlier of the pandemic. The COVID-19 virus just showed up out of nowhere. And then we have to deal with the political turmoil that's in the White House right now. The economy fluctuates. It's up one day and it's down the next day. You got a job one day and tomorrow you may be homeless. And there are many who are not only homeless this morning, but are hopeless. Then there are the technological disruptions that are coming our way. Who knows when the next data breach will happen and who it will affect or when it will occur. And AI has not really registered in yet. We don't know what in the world is going to happen with AI, for it has great potential to disrupt our lives. And I like it the way the songwriter once said that there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. Came to suggest to you this morning that in the midst of life's uncertainties, you need an anchor. Now, in the Christian community, the anchor has long been a symbol for hope. It serves as a metaphor emphasizing the stability and safety of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And anchors are designed to hold ships in place. And so when our lives become disrupted and we don't know which way to turn because the seas are tossing and moving us all around about in our lives. Come to tell you this morning that this hope we have is an anchor. In the midst of our chaotic and turbulent lives. This hope we have is an anchor. And come just to suggest to you this morning that you need an anchor. When we consider our text this morning, I want you to realize that the book of Hebrews was written about AD 30. It was written just before the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And this letter of Hebrews emphasizes primarily the superiority of Christianity. It was better than the Old Testament Judaism. And Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews is presented as being so much better than what the Old Testament Jews were holding on to. The Bible says that he was better than the angels whom they put their hope and trust in. He was better than Moses, who they swore by and believed in, more so than they believed in Jesus Christ. He was better than the animal sacrifices that they used to use in the temple. And he was even better than the Old Testament priesthood. Some of these Jewish Christians were wavering at this particular time in their commitment to Jesus Christ and were considering a return to Judaism. The writer of the book of Hebrews seeks to encourage these believers to hold on to the profession of their faith, which was in Jesus Christ, our Lord. In our text this morning, the writer reminds them of something that they already have in Jesus. It was the hope that they had in Jesus. And he wanted them to know particularly that this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. And so sometimes when life is battering us and beating us up and causing us to want to give up sometimes, causing us sometimes to feel hopeless, he wanted them to know and to understand that this hope that we have is an anchor. It's an anchor. When we look at our text this morning, if you don't mind, since, again, we got there 4 o'clock, I want to slow down just a little bit. This hope. Yes, this now, there are basically 2 types of hope. There is the Christian hope, and then there is worldly hope. Worldly hope is, or boils down to basically wishful thinking. Cross your fingers and put them behind your back and just hope that whatever it is that you're hoping for will come true. Worldly hope is temporal hope. Worldly hope is the type of hope that will disappoint you every time. Pastor Miner was hoping that the Lions would be in the Super Bowl this morning. I was too, Pastor Miner. I have to admit it. But worldly hope will let you down every time. But then this hope that the writer is talking about is a confident expectation that God will do what God says he will do. This hope is a blessed hope that Jesus is mine. And oh, what a foretaste of glory and divine. This hope that we have is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this hope that we have is an anchor. And I don't want to leave out, it's an anchor for the soul. And so, like those who live and walk through this world without hope and without God, we have to remember that we too, one day, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, also walked in this world without hope and without God. But thanks to the grace of God, he saved us, not because of what we had done, but because of his mercy and his grace. He saved our wretched souls and delivered us from whatever it was that we were going through at the time. And because of that, this hope we have is an anchor. And it does not mean or suggest that as Christians, as believers, that we don't still have our storms. We still get caught up in the storms of life, and even though we're dressed up, sometimes we're still messed up. Sometimes we can't see the tears that people are experiencing or what it is that we're going through, and sometimes, like these believers here that the writer in Ephesus is trying to address, we feel like giving up. Going back to the old way and the old life because we think that we can somehow make a difference now. But now that we have Jesus Christ in our lives, I don't know about you, but I've come to learn that I wouldn't trade it in for nothing. Wouldn't give it up. Or turn in this hope that I have. Because I found out when I'm going through the storms of life that this hope that I have in Jesus is an anchor. And even though sometimes I feel like giving up and not going on and not coming to worship and not coming to Bible study and not coming to Sunday school, I found out that this hope that I have in Jesus Christ, my Lord, keeps me steady. When the storms of life are tossing me all around, the hope I have in Jesus Christ keeps me anchored. Keeps me holding on to his hand. I used to love that hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm just trying to tell you that this hope that we have is an anchor. I got this and hope in. Let me go to we. Because the writer wasn't talking to everybody. He's only talking to those who believe in Jesus Christ. He's only talking to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and have received Christ and have become one of the sons of God. He's talking to us as believers. We have this hope. And for us, this hope that we have is an anchor. It'll keep us when the world seems to be falling apart. It'll give us strength when we feel weak. And it'll give us hope when we seem hopeless. This hope we have is an anchor. It's ours. It belongs to us. And not just me, but it belongs to every believer, everyone who has named the name of Jesus and claimed him as their own. This hope we have is an anchor. And it's an anchor of the soul. And just a little note about anchors. Most anchors are lowered beneath the ship. But this anchor is in heaven. It extends all the way to the holies or holies within the veil. And so sometimes when I feel like I'm falling and can't get up, the anchor holds me up and enables me to keep on walking. When without this hope, I would fall. That's why every now and then I pray unto him who is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before his presence with exceedingly glad joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty forevermore, because I know that he's the one on the other end of the anchor that's holding me up. When I feel like falling, let me move on just a little bit. Thank you, Reverend. 4 o'clock. Okay. Just three things I want to lift up out of our text that you might want to feast on later on when you're at home. First thing is that this hope that we have as an anchor is guaranteed by God who promised. In verse 18, God promises to sustain us. A God who cannot lie. A God who is able to do all things has extended to us a promise. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 45, it says that all of the promises that God made to Israel in the Old Testament, not one of them has failed. And so God has promised to keep us grounded by the hope that we have in his Son. Unlike the promises of man, God's promises are absolute. God's promises cannot be broken. And God has promised in his word to offer us both his comfort and his strength. God is the God of all hope. He is the God of all comfort. God is able to keep us during the most difficult of time. And so I just wanted you to know this morning that this hope that we have is an anchor for our souls. And it comes with a guarantee from a God who has promised. Second thing this text suggests to us that we have a hope that is sure and steadfast. This hope that we have as an anchor has been tested. When you peruse the scriptures and you look at the saints of old, you'll realize that all of them who made it through placed their hope and trust in God. Abraham hoped that God would make of him a great nation. And because God cannot lie, God was able to bring it to pass. And David trusted that God would deliver him from his enemies. And the Bible says that this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of the midst of all of his troubles. He trusted in God and he believed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is Black History Month, and so sometimes we pronounce that last saint, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abed. You'll get it when you get home. But they trusted in God, and when they were about to be thrown in the fiery furnace, they didn't know for sure whether or not God would deliver them, but they knew that God was able. Yes. Daniel, when he was tossed in the lion's den, put his hope and trust in God, and God was able to bring him out untouched, unscathed. And the lions went home hungry that day. But this hope that we have in God has been tested, and it's steadfast. In my own life, I've tried God and I found out that God is able to do just what he said he will do. And so when I find myself caught up in the midst of the storm, I look back on the saints of old and I realize that the same God that was able to deliver them will deliver me also. And just one more thought I wanted to leave you with. The third thing is that this hope that we have, which is our anchor,
yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. has been confirmed by someone who went before us. Jesus Christ, the forerunner, who came down through 42 generations. He had a home in glory, but he decided to bring to us redemption's story. He took off his robe in glory. He traveled down through 42 generations. Stopped off in Bethlehem, was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. At the age of 12, he went to the temple and conversed with those who thought they knew the law. But he interpreted the law in a way that they did not understand or were able to receive. But at 12 years of age, he was busy going about his father's business. He continued on doing good. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This hope we have is an anchor. It's been tried, it's been tested, and it's been confirmed by the one who went before us. And even though he went about doing good, he was still betrayed one Thursday evening, led from judgment hall to judgment hall. The Bible says that they beat him until he was unrecognized. They called him everything but a child of God. They blindfolded him. They spit upon him. And then they led him out to be crucified. They took him out to Golgotha's hill. There they nailed him to an old rugged cross. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They hung him high and they stretched him wide. And he died one Friday for your sins and for my sins. He stayed dead all night Friday. Stayed dead all day Saturday and all night Saturday night. But the Bible says that early Sunday morning, He got up from the grave. With all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And the Bible says that he's now in heaven. Our text says that he's behind the veil. The holies of holies. God's dwelling place. And he's making intercession on our behalf. Every time I call on the name of Jesus, I know that he hears my cry. I know that he pities every groan. And so he just confirms that this hope that I have is an anchor. It keeps me going on. And I don't know what tomorrow might bring. But I know that he who holds my future, he also holds my hand. Jesus is on the right hand of God right now, making intercession. And I don't know if you know him or have claimed him for yourself this morning. But Jesus Christ will deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through. I heard somebody say, though the storms keep on raging in my life. And sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. This hope we have is an anchor. One time we lived without hope, but I'm so glad that the Lord has saved me. And the Bible says that God has promised that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. If you don't know him today, why don't you call on him? Why don't you try Jesus? You know, before I came to Christ, I tried everything in the book. And the only thing that helped me, and the only thing that keeps me right now, is my trust and hope in the Lord. This hope that we have is an anchor. God bless you.
Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. If you want to experience that hope, we offer Christ to you. This is an opportunity for you to come and give your life to Christ. And even if you are in Christ and you need a good church home, I recommend this one here. It's a lot of great work that needs to be done. And we need some great people to do it. But we have to be careful how we define greatness. For the Bible said that he who serves all shall be called greatest in the kingdom. There's a hope. This is not a wishy-washy hope. This is a hope of expectancy.
As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore,
is there one?
He'll lead me safely to that blessed place. He has
this is your opportunity.
Prepared.
If you don't come now, you can still enter into that relationship. You don't have to be in church to do it.
Don't see.
All it takes is a simple surrendering yourself and say, God, I've been wrong all my life. And no matter how hard I try, God, to please you, I can't do it. So, Lord, I accept what you're offering. I accept the fact that you offered Jesus on that cross. When it should have been me, God, you sacrificed your son for me.
Though the storms keep on,
it's good news
in my life.
But the best news is that he rose on the third day with all power of heaven and earth in his hand.
Sometimes it's hard to tell.
That's the part you want.
From day.
You want a living hope, a blessed hope.
Still that hope that lies within is reassured.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord.
As I keep my eyes upon the distant shore, I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared.
Thank you, Lord.
But if the storms don't cease,
glory,
and if the winds keep blowing in my life,
my soul,
sometimes in this life we're gonna be tossed by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce, but in the Word of God I've got an anchor and it keeps me unmovable despite the time. And if the winds don't cease, and if the my soul is anchored. 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 Yeah. My soul's been anchored. 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 The billows may roll. The breakers may dash. But I shall not, because he holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right, 'cause Jesus is mine. I said my soul, my soul, my soul, my, yeah, my soul. is anchored. My soul is anchored. My soul is anchored. My. My soul is anchored in the Lord.
Amen. Please stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Yes, Lord. If your soul's been anchored. Oh, I forgot. Stay where you at. We have to take up our offering for our preacher. If you would, please. I'm going to ask that you get your best gift out. Reverend Davis was a blessing to us. And we want to thank God for the preacher. I'm going to ask that you get your best gift out, that you might be a blessing to him. The Bible declares that if he sowed spiritual things into us, then we ought to be able to sow carnal things into him. In other words, we need to be able to not pay him, but to show our appreciation to him for the preached word. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe you, if the word blessed you, say amen.
Amen.
Get your gift out so you follow the directions of the ushers, come from the rear of the church, and come around, and that we might be able to receive your offering for this great man of God.